Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verses 1 and 2. Ecclesiastes 3, 1 and 2. To everything, there is a season. Preaching today about the seasons of life. And a time to every purpose under the sun. A time to be born. A time to die. A time to plant. A time to pluck up that which is planted. And then Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verses 1 and 2. Hope you have your Bibles now. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Remember now. Notice that word. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not. Now the ears draw near, draw nigh when you shall say, I have no pleasure in them, while the sun, or the night, or the moon, or the stars be darkened. Now the clouds return after the rain. I want us to look at Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 1, that first verse in Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 1. Will you stand with me, please? Let's read that first verse, Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 1. Together, are you ready? Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. Man, that's great. Be seated. That's wonderful. Okay. The seasons of life. Ecclesiastes is an autobiography about a man who had everything. A rich man, but who was very poor. His name was Solomon. And it includes searching in the emptiness of Solomon as he looked in the wrong place for everything. Looked in the wrong place. He just looked at the wrong place. He began life so wonderfully. He began so well. And he ended so badly. He came to the end of his life, Solomon, the man who was, the Bible says, was the wisest man, and did some of the most foolish things that anyone could ever do. Have you ever done anything foolish? All of us have. But this man really, I think, won the prize. He ended his life disillusioned, desperate, and he's crying out, all is vanity, all is striving for the wind, all is hopeless. All is bad. How terrible that is to come to the end of the way like Solomon did. And not only affected him, but affected the whole nation of Israel, the whole nation. There would be, when his son took charge, Rehoboam, a division, and something that brought ruin to the nation. So what we do not only affects us, but it affects so many other people. The book of Ecclesiastes is probably one of the most misunderstood books in the Bible. Songs of Solomon, Ecclesiastes. It is a most understood book in the Bible. But really it's about what it's like to live without God. To live without God's word. To live without God's will. To live without going God's way, of making your own choices and running your own life. How many times have we said, I'm going to live my life. I'm going to do as I please. That's exactly what Solomon did. He tried science. He tried philosophy. He tried pleasure. He tried materialism. He even tried religion. And religion is not the same thing as salvation. Salvation is God reaching down to us. And religion is man trying to reach up to God, or trying to work his way up to God and make his way self acceptable unto God. And so there's so many. As we think about vanity and emptiness, who, like Solomon, have ruin their lives. I think about, let me just read some names. Elvis Presley, Michael Jackson, Judy Garland, John Belushi, Richard Burton, Truman Capote, Tommy Dorsey, who wrote a gospel song, by the way, Chris Farley, Sigmund Freud, Jimi Hendrix, Whitney Houston, Janis Joplin, Marilyn Monroe, Christina Onassis, Hank Williams Sr., Joan Rivers, Chris Farley, Kurt Cobain, Abby Hoffman, Howard Hughes, Jim Morrison, Brian Jones, Lenny Bruce, Billie Holiday, Natalie Cole, who just died recently, and so many, many, many others. We're talking today about aging and about the seasons of life, and you say, why? How did that occur? Is this something God had intended to happen? Is this something that was in the will of God? Well, it all goes back to the Garden of Eden. Going back to the very beginning, there were two trees in the garden, you remember. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and the tree of life. And Adam and Eve chose to partake of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, when they could have partaken of the tree of life, but they did not. And so, we think about our body that's growing older, our soul which is not, and our spirit which is not. And God's Word says in Adam, some die, no, and Adam, all die. But in Christ shall all be made alive. You think about getting older, and I have read about some tests that can help you to know if you're getting older. So do you want to know if you're getting older? I'm going to give you a test, okay? Are you ready? If you go to a doctor and they think maybe you're not cooking on everything, they give you a little test, you know. What day is this? What month is this? What year is this? Where are you? You know you're getting older when you get in a rocking chair and you can't get it started, okay? You know you're getting older when your bifocals, you see a gleam on it, you see a gleam in someone's eye, and really it's the sun hitting the bifocals. You know when you're getting older when somebody calls you at 7 o'clock at night and they ask you, did I wake you up? You know you're getting older. You know you're getting older when the pharmacist is your best friend, okay? He knows you by name, your pharmacist, okay? You know you're getting older. You know you're getting older when your children look like middle-agers, okay? You know that's a clue. You know you're getting older when your mailbox is full of AARP stuff, you know? And all the letters from the funds, you know, the funds, Henley Winkler, about selling you some reverse mortgages, okay? You know you're getting older. You know you're getting older when the little lady, gray-headed lady that you take across the street, you know, some of you were Boy Scouts, Girl Scouts, and you helping this little gray-headed lady across the street, and she's your wife. You know you're getting older. You know you're getting older when your knees buckle, but your belt won't. You know you're getting older. And the facts are that all of us are getting older. And the alternative not getting older is not very good. And so let's think about God's perspective as far as aging is concerned and the seasons of life. Though our outward man is perishing, it is progressively decaying and wasting away. Our inward self is renewed, progressively being renewed day by day. You look at the outside, my outside, and it is perishing. But you cannot see the inside, see my spirit. It is being renewed day by day. My spirit is not old. My spirit does not have gray hair. My spirit does not have wrinkles. My spirit is young and strong because as a child of God, I'm being renewed day by day. Let's think now about the seasons of life. You have your outline in your bulletin. And number one, we talk about aging with grace. Aging with grace. Job died, the Word of God says, an old man full of days. He died an old man full of days. I think about how that the lifespan has increased. A miracle, really a miracle of additions, the miraculous additions God has given us. In 1900, when my parents, both of them, were born early in the 1900s, and the average lifespan at that time was 47 years. When my parents were born, the average person lived 47 years. A miraculous addition. When Social Security was passed in 1935, men lived to be the age of 56 and women 60. They had it all figured out. You know, retire at 65, no one was going to get it. Do you get it? That's Washington for you. However, God has played a terrible trick on Washington. And they played a terrible trick on us, in that they told us all this money that we were sending them was in a lockbox. Guess what? It is full of IOUs. There's nothing in the lockbox. They have spent the money. Today, the life expectancy of a man is 78 years old, and a woman is 81 years of age. And so, what a miraculous addition. God has blessed us by adding years to our lives that our grandparents and great-grandparents did not have. It is a miraculous addition. But how often it is a misused asset. A misused asset. So many people who are older feel useless and feel in the way. And they feel like they're over the what? The hill. Over the hill. And that life is over and feel like a failure. And some feel bitter and resentful and full of self-pity and full of fear. And so God has miraculously added in a miraculous addition. And a misused asset, so many have sat down and said, I've done my part now. I'm going to let the younger people do that. God has not left you here to take up space. God has left you here to do a job that no one else can do but you. And so, but also it's a mighty army as we think about aging with grace. God has miraculously added. And God wants us to have the right attitude, a good attitude, and a mighty army. What would happen if this gray power that I call would get down to business and stop whining and stop complaining and stop bellyaching? Oh, I'm over the hill now. I'm 65 years old. I'm an older man, you know. Oh, my goodness alive. Life doesn't end at 65. It really begins. And life is something, it's real. And it's exciting. And it's earnest. And God wants you to be excited about living every day that you live. Just because there's frost on your head, it does not have to be in your heart, okay? God has something for you to do. What would happen if the gray hairs, the gray-headed people, would rise up and said, yes, God has preserved my life. God has prolonged the lives of people now. People are retiring, are working longer. Let me say that again. People are working longer now. I would have thought, what in the world would happen if I sat down when I was 50 years old and said, well, it's over with now. Well, that would not be very smart, would it? Before I've lived several years since I was 50. And really, I think the best part of my life. The best part of my life has been those years. Even after 65, and so the seasons of life, we think about aging with grace. Number two, we think about aging with gratitude. And God says there's to every time there's a season. There's a time to be born. There's a time to live. There's a time to die. There's a time to go to heaven. That's not in Ecclesiastes, but I put that there, okay. And so as long as time lives, there shall be seed time and harvest, summer and winter, day and night shall not cease, Genesis chapter 8 and verse 22. We need to be thankful. We need to be grateful. We need to be excited about living. I think about gratitude as far as a spring of life. But I'm going to preach just a moment about the spring and the summer of life and the fall of life and the winter of life. And just because you're in the spring of life does not mean that you will advance to the summer of life. It does not mean that you'll advance to the fall of life. It may be that you, in the spring of your life, may come to winter. So many babies come to the winter in the spring. And so many children come to the winter in their childhood. My Uncle Curtis, who preached here many times at Crooked Creek, was called to preach, and he refused to preach. And God took his little girl, 5 years old, blonde-headed, beautiful little girl who could sing like an angel. My parents told me about her. Her name was Jean. He rarely preached that he didn't mention his little daughter, Jean. But she went home in the spring of her life. A little 5-year-old blonde-headed girl, beautiful. And so, the spring of life, how wonderful it is. As we think about the things that prepare us in the springs of our life, how our parents prepared us. My mother, my dad prepared me in the spring of my life. And God says, remember now, I remember that day, the first day that I went to school. I went to the second grade, and school was already going. My mother carried me, and the principal said, we don't think this is going to work. My mother said, if he can't do it, I'll come and get him, I promise you. She did not come to get me. But what a memorable day it was, my first day of school. My first day of high school. Remember that? I'm in high school now. Wasn't that marvelous? Wasn't it wonderful? The day you graduated from high school. Can you remember that? I hope you can. Okay. We're going to go back now in your past. We're going to delve into it for just a moment. Okay. And the first day in college, some of you went to college. And I remember my parents carried me to North Georgia College. I was afraid I wasn't going to get to go. You say, they were kind of crying, but I wasn't crying. And I remember when that old Buick pulled off. I said, I'm here. How wonderful it was. I wanted to go to college. There was never a day when I didn't think I was going. And I was excited about it. I'll never forget that old Buick Dynaflow pulling off. And I said, I'm here now. That's wonderful. You remember going into the service and all those things. The spring of life is so very important. So many things happen to us in the spring of our life. Temptations that come to us. A famous TV preacher who got into trouble with prostitutes made this statement. He said, I got involved with pornography as a young boy. I got involved with pornography in the spring of my life. There are things, young people, that can happen in the spring of your life that will haunt you throughout your life. Taking your first drink, getting on drugs, getting involved with all kinds of illicit sex. And in the spring of life, there's so many temptations. And I think about the spring of our life. I think about the preparing and the progressing and the problems. But I think about the peace that happened to me in the spring of my life. Well, that was the time, almost 9 years old, that I received Christ as my Savior. Most people who get saved in the spring of their life. Most people who get saved are young when they get saved. But fewer get saved in the summer, and fewer get saved in the fall, and very few get saved in the winter, but some do. And I will tell you about some of those today. Praise God for the spring. It is wonderful. But I think about, let's go to summertime now. And God said in His Word, He that gathereth in the summer is a wise son. This is the prime of your life. You remember, those of you who have you gray beards, remember when the summer came? In the prime of your life. That's the time when you get married. I was almost 25 years old when I got married. Martha was, well, I won't tell you how old she was. I don't want to get in trouble. But the reason, let me tell you why she married me, because your brain doesn't get fully developed until you're 21. And that's how I got her. That is how I got her. She was not yet 21. And people get married, and oh, how exciting that is. And children, you remember your first child? Someone today brought me a photograph of when he was just a little baby. And his mom and dad here at the church, and me, a guy, I don't know who he was. He had this strange-looking zoot suit on and had dark hair. He looked familiar, but I can't quite get him who he was at that moment. And I think we're dedicating Jake to the Lord. I believe it took. I really believe that it did. It's a time when you begin to grow and to gather financially. It's time when you sometimes get involved with too involved with making money, and too involved in the things, getting your first home in the summertime, and in the summertime getting your career. I always remember when I came to Jefferson to go to work a long time ago. I'd had several jobs, but this was really my first real job, the job that I really wanted, the job that I really loved. And the company that I've been involved with a very long, and still involved with, a very long, long time, your career. Do you remember that? Thinking about what you wanted to be with your life, what you wanted to do with your life, and that's in the summer of life. And in the summer of life, some people get saved. Martha's dad got saved in the summer of his life at Papa Springs Baptist Church. One Sunday morning, they were having a testimony service. And that morning, her dad was in the summer of his life. And that morning, he received Christ as his Savior and made the most important decision that he ever made. But some do not get to the summer of their life. And I want to warn you as a young person. I preach too many funerals of young people to say to you that you... And I looked at the boys and girls Wednesday night as they sang. And I hope they will sing soon in the service. We're going to try to get them here on the Sunday service to sing. It's marvelous. It just blessed my heart. And I thought, what will they be? What will their lives be like? And I thought, I looked at them and I said, I know what they can be. I know what they can be. But so many do not accomplish what they could accomplish. And so many are saved in the summer of their life, but many do not progress to the fall of their life. Many die in the spring of their life. And young person, I want to tell you, you may die in the spring of your life. I'd be lying to you, because I remember those funerals. Those times, and he goes to the car dealer and buys him a Corvette. Okay. His wife's 50, and he thinks about, I don't need to be married to that old woman. And so he trades her for a couple of 25-year-old girlfriends. That's the story. There was a man in that congregation that morning that I knew. He was a good singer. He was a good musician. You know what he did? He did that very thing. He got him a sports car and those little hats that you put on your head, you got a convertible, you roll the top back. Little ladies, if your husband does that, and I want to just warn you, okay? And gets you one of those little hats, gets in there, and he thinks he's a young guy again. But he's not. And that man did the very thing, that very thing, in that service. He did, in a few weeks, he did the very same thing. Left his wife, got him a little sports car, got him a little hat, and made a fool out of himself. And there's no fool like an old fool. There's no fool like an old fool. And I can remember so many men who've gone crazy about that time in the fall of their life, and they played the fool. I remember going to the retirement party for a friend of mine. They showed the photographs, and they had this thing, "This is your life." Remember that thing on television? Some of you, Brother Bill, what are you talking about? Ralph Edwards, "This is your life." I saw him as a little baby, a little boy growing up, a young person going to high school, a basketball player with his basketball suit, getting married, and his first job, and as he begins his career, there's something I began to notice. Colors of his hair began to change. The lines on his face began to change. And then there he was before me, the man who was retiring. All kinds of wrinkles on his face. His hair was white. And fall has come. So many die in the fall. My first cousin married a man named Benny. They were out. They loved to travel. And he had a bicycle on his trailer, and he was out riding his bicycle, hit a pothole on the road, went over the handlebars, hit himself, and thought nothing really of it. The next day he died from the trauma that he had received from his head. So many people die in the fall of their lives. I think about some men in the fall of his life. When we were down on the creek, and one night two ladies came to talk to me and Martha and said, "Brother Bill, we're concerned." And Bobby Evans started coming to church. And before long, Bobby was driving a bus. And before long, he was teaching Sunday school. Before long, Bobby was a deacon here. And not only that, he was my friend. I called him my bodyguard. Those of you remember, he was a big guy, had a crew cut on him. I said, "If any of you want to get rough and get smart with me, just see Bobby, okay?" He handles all my small problems, okay? But in the fall, Brother Bobby got cancer. Junior got cancer. Both of them died with cancer. And that's the hardest thing for a pastor, is to see people that you love slip away. And Bobby was really my right-hand man the day we buried Bobby, his body. It was snowing that day. And it really affected my life. I know he's with the Lord. No genius with the Lord, how glorious that is. But you know, I still miss them. I still think about them. And so thank God that there are those in the fall of their life find the will of God and start serving God faithfully in the fall of their life. I think about the winter of life. And here we are. And Martha and I went some time ago for a little trip to the church where I first pastored. Now it's one of the largest churches in the area, fastest growing area. It's a building, another new building. And we drove up the little dirt road beside the church. And I said, "Martha, you remember us driving up that road more than 50 years ago?" And she said, "Yes." And I had a little Volkswagen Beetle in those days, brand new one, by the way. And
I saw an old man walking down the road with a walking cane. And I got out of the little car and went to talk with him. His name is Mr. Kiesler. I introduced myself, told him I was a preacher over here at the church right next door. He lived right next to the church. He lived in the shadow of the church. He lived there all of his life. I started talking to him about Jesus. And he said, well, preacher, said, I used to make coffins for people. I know all about death and I know all about dying. He said, Jesus was a failure. He came here to save people and they crucified and nailed me to the cross. I don't need Jesus. I have nothing to do with him. I remember I was down at the Hospital of Commerce one day and I saw his son. He said, Dad's in here and he's in a coma. And I went in and looked in his face. I looked at him. And as far as I know, he's lost. His sister was in her 80s and she was lost. And I just thought about what it's like to go out to meet God. And the winner of your life, an old person, and the winner of your life rejecting Christ as your Savior. I think about Mr. Kiesler often. I think about that man. I think about a man when I was in Athens named Doug. Doug's lost. And all the preachers who had been there at that church had gone to see him. I got a friend, a member of the church, there to go with me. And he was driving the van that day for me and driving. And he said, where are we going, Brother Bell? I said, we're going to see Doug. He said, going to see Doug? I said, yes, going to see Doug. He said, why? Every preacher's ever come here, and all the visiting preachers are going to see Doug, and he's never been saved. I said, he deserves to hear. He deserves another try. And we're going to go see Doug. I went to see Doug. Had a good visit. He knew some people who were members here of this church. He's really a very delightful person. He just lost. I went to see him again at home. Then I got the word he was in hospital in Augusta and having really heart trouble. Went down to Augusta to see him once. And went down the second time and we thought maybe Doug would not even come home alive. But he did. And he came to the hospital, really not a hospital, it's a landmark, it's out. It's where you go, I don't scare anybody, but often to die, okay? I'm saying the truth. And I've seen a lot of people die there, okay? So that's what I thought. So I went to see him there, and it had been his birthday the day before. And I said, well, Doug, how you doing? He said, preacher said, I'm going to come to the church. I'm going to hear you preach. I said, Doug, that'd be the greatest thing in the world. I'm glad. But let me tell you something greater. That is for you to open your heart and let Jesus come into your heart today. Today. And you know what he said? He said, that's what I want to do. And there in Landmark, we bowed our head. No, Doug was saved. Gloriously saved. He went home. I went to see him and he was rejoicing in the Lord. Went home to see him a second time. And then I got the word. He's back in the hospital. I went to see him in the hospital. And then in a few days I got the word. Doug's gone. I went down to the hospital in the Kent care unit. I looked there and held his hand. He'd slipped away. He'd slipped away to glory. But he met Jesus in the winter of his life. He wanted so much to be baptized. And I told him, I said, well, we want to baptize you, Doug. He said, yes, I want to be. But he never got to be able to be baptized. But he was saved. And how glorious it is to be saved in the very winter of your life. So there's aging with grace, and there's aging with gratitude, and there's aging in glory. And I thank God for the renewal that God has given us. The outward man is perishing, that is true. And I look in the mirror and I see what time has done to me. And I say, the outward man is perishing. I look in my mirror and I say that to the person in the mirror. But the inward man is being renewed day by day. You think the outside looks bad. You ought to see the inside. It is glorious. It is glorious. And we're being renewed, those of us who are saved. Thank God for that. And God says that we need to remember our Creator in the days of thy youth. And we need to reverence God with all of our heart. And so there it is. And you may be in the spring of your life, but you may not get out of the spring of your life alive. Or the summer of your life, you may never live to see the winter or the fall. Or you may be in the fall of your life, and you may not get to see, to go through the winter of life and wonder what it's like in the winter of your life. But how glorious it is to know Christ as Savior. Shall we bow our heads, musicians, will you come forward? I do not know where you are in the seasons of your life, and neither do I really know where I am. But I wonder that there are those who are lost today who do not know Christ as Savior, who are not sure that they're saved. They hope they are saved, but you're not sure about your salvation. And this morning you can know for sure that you're saved. Or maybe you have professed Christ as your Savior, but you have not professed Him openly and follow Christ in believer's baptism. We invite you to come. Or maybe God is speaking to you about your church membership, and you are really without a church home now, or away from your church that is your church home, and you need a new church home. We invite you to come. Or maybe there's some women or men like some people, women like Mildred and Murdell. Mildred, whose husband was lost. And I said, ladies, what we need to do is pray. And God answered our prayer. Or maybe you have someone that you love who's away from God. They are saved. We need to pray, and the altar will be open in just a moment. Or maybe there's some things that you need to get settled in your life with God. We're going to have the invitation time in just a moment and have an opportunity to get that settled. Or I know that there are people like Mildred and Murdell who have something that's on your heart and something that could be answered if God can just get us on our knees and get us to call out to Him. And if we can agree together to pray, God still wants to work miracles. And maybe you need a miracle today. Maybe you need a miracle in your body, in your home, in your career, with your children, with your grandchildren, with a ministry that God has for you. You need a miracle from God. We invite you to come. Shall we stand, please, as you please? Will you come?